This is Washington Watch with Tony Perkins, your daily voice in Washington, D.C. on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. And now, here's your host, Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Welcome to Washington Watch. Happy Friday. I'm Russ Jones, sitting in for Tony Perkins. Tony is the president of the Family Research Council. I'm a 30-year media veteran and producer of this very program. Oh, phew. Are you out of energy? Where do we start? It's been an amazing week. Southern Poverty Law Center President Richard Cohen was challenged during a Homeland Security Committee hearing yesterday. Congressman Tom Garrett and his conservative colleagues were there. He'll share an outrage over the verdict of Kate Steinle's murder. Congressman Garrett is a co-sponsor of Kate's Law, and we'll talk about it. And back and forth on tax reform today. Looks like the Senate will vote later tonight. We'll have Congressman Andy Harris on the show to talk about that. And then President Trump's former national security advisor, Michael Flynn, pleaded guilty today to lying to the FBI about conversations with the Russian ambassador last December. And we'll talk with Congressman Harris about that as well. And a spike in anti-Semitism on college campuses. Dr. Tammy Roseman Benjamin of the Omshaw Initiative. You won't want to miss that conversation. It's amazing what's going on some of our campuses across the country. And here at FRC, we continue our year-end matching challenge. Through the end of December, any amount you donate to FRC receives a matching gift from a generous donor. Your gift supports our efforts to bring you this very radio program, and donations can be given at tonyperkins.com, or you can also make a gift by texting FRC to 444-999. And we also have folks manning the phones right now at 1-800-225-4008. That's 1-800-225-4008. So if you give a gift of $10, it doubles to $20, $50, to $100, and so on. And we appreciate your support. We are here week in and week out to bring you the news of the day from a Christian biblical worldview that I know that you look for. There's just very few places where you can find this. And we appreciate our partners at American Family Radio and Bot Radio Network. Well, the U.S. House Committee on Homeland Security held a hearing yesterday on domestic terrorism, discussing ways of keeping America secure in the new age of terror. There was a lively exchange with some of the members on the panel, especially in regards to the Southern Poverty Law Center. And Richard Cohen is the president of SPLC. And boy, he just could not handle the truth. He was given a big dose of truth from some conservative members, I'm telling you.
You can't handle the truth!
Well, joining us now is Congressman Tom Garrett. He represents the 5th Congressional District of Virginia and serves on the House Committee on Homeland Security and the Committee on Foreign Affairs, member of the House Freedom Caucus. Congressman Garrett, welcome to Washington Watch.
Outstanding to be with you all.
Thanks so much for joining us. Well, you had quite the lively hearing yesterday on your Homeland Security Committee hearing there, and had several key witnesses giving expert testimony about how to keep America safe. And one of them was Richard Cohen of the SPLC. Tell us about that.
Well, my line of questioning with Mr. Cohen was that if indeed leftist ideologies have been responsible for more human bloodshed than any other organized thought pattern in human history, which is inarguable, 70 to 100 million dead at the hands of communism. We just extracted 9 Christians from the Republic of Sudan, 2 of whom had spent 18 months each in prison, essentially for giving food to people. Then why was it that every single member of the directors and leadership of the SPLC had a political leaning in one direction, and were we not wise to be skeptical? And while he conceded that the political leaning was uniformly in one direction, his suggestion was that it was only people who leaned left who cared about human rights, or who cared more about human rights, which I found to be laughable, because there was certainly nothing in it for me raising all private dollars to travel to the Sudan to secure the release of these 9 people. The other thing that was sort of mind-blowing was that he seeks to tie the rise in right-wing sort of, or so-called right-wing extremism, to President Trump. And yet the number one advocacy area for members of their own hate watch list is black separatism. and those groups have increased fourfold since 2000. My question was that the fault of President Obama? And he said no, and I told him I agreed with him. But that if that wasn't the cause of that, then wasn't it a little oversimplifying to suggest that one person was responsible for any rise or perceived rise in white identity groups? So ultimately what we're looking for here, it's important to know what the precursors of terror are, what hate looks like, what intolerance looks like, but it's ridiculously draconian and dangerous to suggest that it can only manifest itself from one political purview, and particularly when history tells us entirely different.
Congressman, I am a little curious to know what went into the witness selection for this particular hearing. We had Chief of Police of Knoxville Police Department, David Rausch, and Rabbi Abraham Cooper before the House Committee on Homeland Security. And then we had Derek Johnson, the president of the NAACP, and then, of course, Richard Cohen. What determined who were going to be the expert witnesses?
So the way this works is the majority party is generally allowed two witnesses, the minority party one. There was an agreement to allow the gentleman from the NAACP late in the day, which would have been two witnesses and two, as he and Mr. Cohen were invited by the minority party. The gentleman from the NAACP was unable to appear, and so you had Chief Rausch from Knoxville as well as Rabbi Cooper from the Simon Wiesenthal Center, both invited by the majority party, and then Mr. Cohen from the SPLC invited by the minority party. And that's going to be the same breakdown on almost any panel. It's going to be two from the majority party and one from the minority party by invitation. And that's how that played out.
Okay.
Having said that, it was very enlightening to have Mr. Cohen there, and I think anyone who would take exception with the foundational goals of SPLC, ostensibly to combat the Klan, is somebody who I might take exception with. But it's devolved into something where a uniformly ideological group are now the de facto arbiters of what is and isn't hatred. And, you know, the Establishment Clause of the First Amendment says, make no laws establishing a religion nor prohibiting the free practice thereof. That means that if Family Research Council believes that marriage is a tripartite contract between a man and a woman and God, they're allowed to believe that so long as they don't physically harm someone. And I don't see any evidence of that. He would suggest, and did in his testimony, that somehow groups like Liberty Council and FRC are hateful.
Right.
You don't have to agree with someone to acknowledge their right to hold an opinion. It's when that opinion manifests itself in action against others that is antithetical to the Jefferson idea of liberty.
Yeah, and you're absolutely right. Back in the day, SPLC had a noble cause and went astray. And of course, as you know, back on August 15th in 2012, Floyd Lee Corkins, he entered FRC building in downtown D.C., and Leo Johnson, the building manager of the Family Research Council, was at the front desk that morning, and after asking him to produce identification, Corkins began rummaging through his bag, which contained, 15 Chick-fil-A sandwiches, and Corkins was carrying a 9mm handgun and 100 rounds of ammunition and shot Leo. And claims to have gotten his information from the Southern Poverty Law Center's website. And
and the shooter at the Alexandria baseball practice who shot
exactly
Steve Scalise listed the SPLC amongst those who he followed on Facebook, and that was certainly political terror. And we hear much talk, and as we should, of the horrific act of the South Carolina church shooter, but nobody mentioned the hateful and horrific act of the Tennessee church shooter, whose ideology would appear to be motivated not certainly by anything that anyone would describe as right-leaning. So, again, I don't have any problem calling out hate mongers and those who might inspire terror and acts against others. I just think we should do so even-handedly.
Exactly. Well, your colleague, Congressman Perry of Pennsylvania, he kind of went after him, too. Let's listen to this clip.
What about when Mr. Corkins Googled your website and then went and shot up the Family Research Council, including shooting an individual there, and then said that he was inspired by your website?
Look, we're no more responsible for what Mr. Corkins did based on reading our website than Martin Scorsese is for what John Hinckley did.
You're no more responsible, but yet Dylann Roof read whatever he read, and that is held as responsible for what he did. Well, and I'm not saying any of them are correct, but it seems like a breathtaking double standard of which you're used as a credible source for law enforcement and you're testifying in front of Congress when it appears obviously that it's only your opinion that you base your hate groups and citations on.
Well, it is our opinion. It's an opinion that I think has a tremendous amount of credibility.
But no empirical evidence or data to back it up.
I think that's incorrect. I think if you look at our hate group listing and look at the people who we list as hate mongers, that you would agree with 99% of them.
So, Congressman, wouldn't you agree that the people have finally got their number and people are taking note and noticing that they have kind of self, as you noted earlier, proclaimed themselves as the arbiter of hate?
Well, and I think that that was evident in that clip. He essentially admitted in an article, point of questioning, that yes, they all lean the same direction politically, but that's because they were right. And that's sort of like trying to argue with an 8-year-old. I know you are, but what am I? As you know, again, I think that the stated goals of the group are fine. There is nothing approaching even-handedness in the application of their methodology, and it's always those who condemn others wherein you ultimately reap the seeds of that condemnation in the form of violence, and we've seen that, you know, in Alexandria on that baseball field where the shooter literally asked Ron DeSantis, are these Republicans or Democrats? And when he was informed that they were Republicans, began shooting. I mean, that's political terror from the left, motivated at least in part by their work. So let's condemn hatred uniformly. Let's acknowledge that there are those in this life who will make decisions with which we do not agree. But so long as they're not harming us, they have a right to hold them in this country. You know, hate the sin, love the sinner. And I think I can live by that. I only hope that people on the other side of the aisle can.
And we here at FRC appreciate you, you know, coming on the show to talk about it because, you know, Richard Cohen did warn you not to get too close to FRC. So you can, you're surviving this and I appreciate it. And since I've been guest hosting, I'm on their website too. So maybe I can learn the secret handshake. And many of us quite honestly, seriously see that as a badge of honor because we have a worldview that we believe to be right and true about faith, family, and freedom, as we know you do. So let's just change direction just a little bit. The Kate Steinle verdict in finding Jose Garcia Zarate, you know, who was deported 5 times. You know, he got let off. What do you have to say about that?
Well, it goes. I mean, I don't. First of all, I've got a lot of experience handling firearms as a prosecutor affiliated with law enforcement and as a soldier of the United States military, mm-hmm. and I've got a lot of experience in a courtroom. Again, as a prosecutor, and it's beyond me how several things happened, how the judge allowed evidence as to the interrogation techniques wherein the detectives ostensibly misled the person being interviewed. That's completely normal and acceptable practice. That's how they train it. And secondarily, how you can get away from at least a manslaughter conviction where sheer negligence And an act of criminality, which would be sufficient, given the fact that he was a felon possessing a firearm,
right.
should be sufficient to convict. It is something like nothing I've ever seen before,
right.
and it scares the bejeebers out of me as it relates to the really reliability of our court system.
Well, Congressman Garrett, thanks so much. We know you're a co-sponsor of Kate's Law, and you'll be working hard on that. We're out of time. Happy Friday. Have a blessed weekend. Thanks for being on Washington Watch. Well, coming up next, Republicans continue today to push tax reform over the goal line. We'll talk to Representative Andy Harris when we return.
This Christmas season, give with purpose and meaning, a gift that protects life, marriage, and religious liberty. At Family Research Council, our mission is to promote these three core values in public policy and the culture from a Christian worldview. We are working to ensure that our religious liberty is defended in the public square, that human life at all stages is protected, and that family values are promoted in our country's public policies. Your giving can make an eternal difference for your community and for our future generations. And if you give between now and December 31st to Family Research Council, your gift will be matched, meaning it will be doubled by a generous donor. And any donation is tax deductible. Give with purpose this Christmas season. Text FRC to 444-999. Again, that is text FRC to 444-999. Thank you for standing with us. FRC wishes you and your family a Merry Christmas and a blessed New Year. Having a hard time finding that right gift for your family and friends? Need some ideas? Check out Family Research Council's online store and browse the latest books, mugs, trendy t-shirts, baby bibs, tote bags, and more. Your purchase of these items will support FRC in our mission to advance faith, family, and freedom in public policy and the culture from a Christian worldview. Some of our exclusive items include a unique in-house design DC t-shirt featuring a skyline of the monuments in our nation's capital, a cute baby bib with some pro-life flair, and a stylish tote bag with a Bible verse from 1 John 4:19 that says, "We love because He first loved us." Go to frc.org/store now to start shopping. Again, that is frc.org/store. Thank you for standing with us. FRC wishes you and your family a very Merry Christmas and a blessed New Year.
Is being right enough to win an election? Many tend to believe that being right, in the sense of being factually correct, is sufficient to win in politics. Unfortunately, political history proves otherwise. The candidate who organizes and communicates the best will beat the opposition, no matter how right the other side is. Christians who are running for public office have a moral obligation to study and learn how to win. They must discover the real nature of politics. Robert Arnakis knows how to win. As senior director for the Leadership Institute, the nation's premier public policy training organization, he has 15 years of grassroots organizing, campaign, fundraising, and communications experience, and has established himself as one of the country's top political trainers. Hear Mr. Arnakis discuss the real nature of politics and how to overcome the odds to win an election. Go to frc.org/speakers to view this timely discussion.
Hey, it's Friday. I'm Russ Jones, sitting in for Tony Perkins. Tony's the president of the Family Research Council, and this very program, Washington Watch, is powered by the Family Research Council. It's been a big week, and members of the House and the Senate have been debating, going back and forth, and it looks like the Senate could be having a vote. Could be a late night, but Democrats look like they've been doing some stalling, and Senate lawmakers have debated a $1.4 trillion tax cut bill approved by President Trump's historic tax cut legislation. And this legislation is the first major reform to the federal tax code since 1986, the Reagan era, which just after I got out of high school. And did you know I played the tuba in the Ronald Reagan California Here We Come pep band? That was such an honor. Got to meet him. But the bill would slash the corporate tax rate from 35% to 20% in 2019 and reduce individual and family tax rates over the next 8 years. And House Republican leaders have scheduled a vote for Monday to go to conference with the Senate on the tax bill. And with us now is Congressman Andy Harris, a doctor from Maryland who serves the 1st Congressional District, and he serves on the House Committee on Appropriations, the committee that is in charge of the amount of federal dollars that is allocated to various areas. Congressman Harris, welcome to Washington Watch.
Good to be back with you.
Well, I bet you're glad it's Friday, but you all are still working, aren't you? Where are we at right now?
Look, we're waiting for the Senate to take action. The House, of course, has sent our bill over there. They have their own ideas on where this tax reform is going to go. They scheduled a vote for yesterday, but this is very complicated. I'm not surprised it's going to take into the weekend. And hopefully they'll do it this weekend. We'll come in Monday, vote to go to conference with the Senate, and hopefully iron out our changes and our differences over the next week and get something to the president's desk for Christmas.
You know, I've been watching C-SPAN today with deliberations, and it's interesting if you're kind of a political junkie like I am. And to watch the Democrats wanting specifics, they didn't seem to want specifics on Obamacare, but now they're saying that there's been a lack of hearings. But it's my understanding that Democrats offered over 63 some amendments and over some 23 hours of hearings.
Yeah, that's pretty typical. I mean, they're dragging this out, but I think there's a realization this is going to be done. The president has made this one of his signature efforts, and as Republicans, we believe that taxes should be lower. I mean, that's one of the things that Republicans believe in, especially in this economy. We need our small and family-owned businesses and our corporations that provide jobs. We need them to remain competitive in this global economy, and that's exactly what this bill is going to do. In addition to giving middle-class Americans much-needed tax cut.
Now, are you finding Republicans are eager to find a compromise between the House and the Senate tax plans?
We're not that far apart, to be honest. We agree on the basics with the president. There has to be a tax cut for our job creators to make them globally competitive, and for our small and family businesses to remain in business. And this has to be geared toward the middle class on the individual tax side. That's what both bills do. Now, we take slightly different approaches, no question about it. Mm-hmm. But I think these differences are relatively minor and should be fairly easily dealt with in a conference committee.
Now, in anticipation of the tax cut vote, it's amazing to watch the stock market. It's just soared to record highs. And I just have to look at my own 401k. And while the Commerce Department reported Wednesday that the U.S. gross domestic product, the GDP, the broadest measurement of the economy's growth rate rose to 3.3% in the third quarter. Doesn't that tell us something about the general overview of this tax plan?
Absolutely. This country is we're waiting to get out of the last 8 years of the Obama administration, the taxes and regulations. We're not happy with an under 2% GDP growth. That's ridiculous. This country has never had a span of GDP growth that low since Second World War. We shouldn't be happy with it. And just with the election of President Trump, just as you said, our economy has picked up just with the regulatory changes the president has made. When we unleash tax reform and we go from being the most the country with the highest tax rate, corporate tax rate in the world, to a country with the tax rate in the lowest third. Our American business will take off. We will gain manufacturing jobs even more than we have in the past year. We'll gain even more. Our companies will come back home. They'll bring capital back home. It's ready to explode, and that's exactly what the stock market is showing us.
Now, three previous Republican holdouts, Senators Jeff Flake of Arizona and Steve Daines of Montana and Ron Johnson of Wisconsin. It sounds like they're behind the bill now and things are coming around.
That's right. There were relatively minor changes that needed to be made. I'm particularly happy that we're eliminating the individual mandate as part from the Obamacare as part of the Senate package. I think the House is going to absolutely embrace that as well. This is a twofer. We not only get very important tax reform, but we basically take out one of the most onerous requirements of Obamacare, that the federal government comes in and actually tells a private citizen that they have to buy a product from mm-hmm. a private company. First time in history, it's time for this to go, and fortunately, it looks like that's going to be part of this tax reform plan as well.
And we're hearing about a trigger. Explain to our folks what that means.
Well, the concern from some of the budget hawks was that the economy might not grow as much as a lot of us think it will grow once we unleash the tax reins that are restraining our economy. And so what they had planned to do was put in a trigger mechanism so that if the economy doesn't grow quite as much, that some of the taxes would ratchet up. But apparently the Senate parliamentarian has ruled that not consistent with the rules of reconciliation under which this bill has to pass. So I don't think there's going to be a trigger in the bill. I didn't like the idea of it. It basically set a mechanism for an automatic tax increase. I think if we're going to increase taxes, we should take a vote to do it, not do it automatically at some point in the future with a trigger mechanism.
And what I've learned is that we all rise with the tide. Just real quickly, 15 seconds, how serious is the Michael Flynn guilty plea for President Trump?
Look, I think Mike, he was out there on his own. He was on his own. I don't think it reflects on the president at all.
Well, Congressman Harris, thank you so much. Have a blessed weekend. Thank you for your service.
Thank you.
Well, over the past year, anti-Semitism has increased some 40% in various sectors of the population, especially on university campuses. Well, Dr. Tammy Roseman Benjamin of the AMCA initiative will unroll the scroll and shed light on the matter when we return. I'm Russ Jones, sitting in for Tony Perkins, and you're listening to Washington Watch. Happy Friday.
Spend a semester in Washington, D.C. with Family Research Council through our internship program. You will get a chance to experience the rich history and culture of our nation's capital and be immersed in the most important political debates of our day by working to advance family values in a professional work environment under the oversight and mentorship of FRC experts and scholars. The internship program includes free housing just a block away from Capitol Hill and the Supreme Court, as well as a paid stipend. Learn more at frc.org/internships.
Is being right enough to win an election? Political history proves otherwise. The candidate who organizes and communicates the best will beat the opposition, no matter how right the other side is. Christians who are running for public office have a moral obligation to study and learn how to win. They must discover the real nature of politics. Robert Arnakis is one of the country's top political trainers. Hear him discuss the real nature of politics and how to overcome the odds to win an election at frc.org/speakers.
The Family Research Council had the pleasure of hosting Dr. Michael Paulson to speak about how Christians can respond to arguments against religious liberty. Dr. Paulson argues that religion is different and deems exemptions within the law. A religious person believes in God, and God's sovereignty requires complete devotion, whereas government only requires allegiance and civil duties. The Constitution itself treats religion differently, giving America religious liberty and the freedom to exercise. Visit frc.org/university to hear more about this issue.
If you had to make a law, where would you start? America's founding fathers determined law from a fixed source, God, but culture has shifted the focus to man's self-determined law. If truth is no longer determined by God, it becomes subjective and open to interpretation. In an incisive new paper, Peter Johnston traces the origins of these dangerous trends in American law and the importance of staying true to our founding principles. To view FRC's new publication, go to frc.org/decay.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm Russ Jones, sitting in for Tony Perkins. Hey, you can follow Tony on Twitter at T Perkins. That's at T Perkins. You can follow me too. I'm Russ Jones Speaks at Russ Jones Speaks on Twitter. Also, all of this great content, it's on the web at TonyPerkins.com. Go check it out. We also have a weekend edition that gets put together and compiles all of this wonderful content, and we appreciate your support on that. And, you know, FRC, strong supporters of Israel. A new study released last month reveals how academic boycotts of Israel pose a serious threat to Jewish students and significantly increase the likelihood of anti-Semitism on campus. And with us now is Dr. Tammy Roseman Benjamin. She is co-founder and director of AMCA Initiative. I hope I said that right. Need a little brush up on my Hebrew. And was a faculty member in Hebrew and Jewish Studies at the University of California from 1996 to 2016. Dr. Tammy, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you, Russ. It's a pleasure to be on your show.
Thank you. Did I say that right?
You did. You get extra credit.
It's that.
You did.
I have trouble with that. Hebrew.
Right, Hebrew word, exactly.
Which means your people or your nation. So what an appropriate name. Well, tell us about this new study that's come out. I'm not surprised. I'm disappointed, but not surprised.
Well, we've been actually finding in a number of our studies a sort of curious result, which is that the more faculty we have at universities who have endorsed a boycott, an academic boycott of Israel, the more instances we have of Jewish students being subject to aggressive behavior such as assault, suppression of speech, destruction of property, and the like. And there was a very strong correlation, 4 to 7 times higher. In one study, it was actually 7 times more likely to find those instances of anti-Jewish aggression if there were faculty boycotters on the campus. And so we actually tried to unpack that in a more recent study where we looked at the relationship between certain kinds of academic events, in particular departmental events that are sponsored by or events that are sponsored by different departments, events that have to do with Israel. And we looked at the relationship between whether the faculty and the department heads were faculty boycotters and whether the people that they brought to speak were themselves faculty boycotters. And it's sort of unsurprising, but at least it's something that we've shown scientifically, is that in fact, the more faculty boycotters in a department, the more likely you are that they're going to bring people who see the world like they do, specifically who have anti-Israel and anti-Zionist views as they do, and who also support a boycott of Israel. And that the events that they are speaking at are ones that involve lots of anti-Zionist content, including promoting things like boycotts of Israel. So faculty are definitely bringing their anti-Israel sentiment and their support for a boycott of Israel into the classrooms and into their academic programming in a way. And I guess this is how it connects to the previous studies, is that we showed that the more of those events that there are, the more harm, the more incidents of anti-Jewish hostility that we find on more than 100 campuses across the country.
Yeah, your data says it reveals that the greater the number of faculty boycotters in a department, the greater the number of outside BDS proponents brought to campus. And
exactly.
I'm curious, is there a geographic correlation? Are there certain kinds of schools?
You know, it's pretty consistent across the country. It's not related to geographic area. It's both East Coast, West Coast, Midwest, as well as not related to the size of the school, and it's also not related to whether it's a public or a private university or college. So it's a very robust trend that really is across all the variables that you can think of that might that might affect these things. So it's very robust.
So it's one thing to know about it. You've identified the problem. So what is driving it, and what do you do about it?
Well, what's driving it is two things, I would say. It's an ideology, which is anti-Zionism. That's what's driving the actions, including the promotion of a boycott of Israel on campus by faculty. They're motivated by their anti-Zionist sentiments. But also we have a university structure. We have, the notion of academic freedom, which actually protects faculty to be able to promote their biased personal political agendas and even their activism, their political activism, is protected by academic freedom as protected by their colleagues. And so that's a real problem, because it's very hard, if they're protected, if they're in fact even hired and promoted to engage in this kind of behavior. And one of the things that, you know, we would like to look at more, but we have a sense that this is what's happening, is that in the same way that the faculty are bringing their friends, their anti-Zionist boycott-supporting friends to speak at the events, they're also hiring their friends and not hiring those who have a different perspective, which is, of course, not just about anti-Zionism. It's about many different kinds of political persuasions that don't fit in with the particular prevailing narrative.
Well, Dr. Tammy, we're out of time. Thank you so much for joining us on Washington Watch. Folks, Dr. Tammy Rossman-Benjamin of AMCA Initiative. You can find out more on TonyPerkins.com. Hey, coming up next, we're going to take your calls. Give us a call, 866-372-7234.
Are you interested in making a real impact in public policy and culture? And are you looking for an internship experience at a Christian organization in the heart of our nation's capital? If the answer is yes, spend a semester in Washington, D.C. with Family Research Council through our internship program. You will get a chance to experience our country's rich history and culture and be immersed in the most important political debates of our day. Further, you will develop the skills required to advance faith, family, and freedom in our nation. Family Research Council's internship program includes free housing just a block away from Capitol Hill and the Supreme Court, as well as a paid stipend. As an intern, you will gain invaluable public policy experience in a professional work environment under the oversight and mentorship of FRC experts and scholars. Learn more about the FRC internship program at frc.org/internships. Again, that is frc.org/internships.
Having a hard time finding that right gift for your family and friends? Need some ideas? Check out Family Research Council's online store and browse the latest books, mugs, trendy t-shirts, baby bibs, tote bags, and more. Your purchase of these items will support FRC and our mission to advance faith, family, and freedom in public policy and the culture from a Christian worldview. Some of our exclusive items include a unique in-house design DC t-shirt featuring a skyline of the monuments in our nation's capital, a cute baby bib with some pro-life flair, and a stylish tote bag with a Bible verse from 1 John 4:19 that says, "We love because He first loved us." Go to frc.org/store now to start shopping. Again, that is frc.org/store. Thank you for standing with us. FRC wishes you and your family a very Merry Christmas and a blessed New Year.
If you had to make a law, where would you start? America's founding fathers determined law from a fixed source, God, but culture has shifted the focus to man's self-determined law. If truth is no longer determined by God, it becomes subjective and open to interpretation. In an incisive new paper, Peter Johnston traces the origins of these dangerous trends in American law and the importance of staying true to our founding principles. To view FRC's new publication, go to frc.org/decay.
The Family Research Council had the pleasure of hosting Dr. Michael Paulson to speak about how Christians can respond to arguments against religious liberty. Dr. Paulson argues that religion is different and deems exemptions within the law. A religious person believes in God, and God's sovereignty requires complete devotion, whereas government only requires allegiance and civil duties. The Constitution itself treats religion differently, giving America religious liberty and the freedom to exercise. Visit frc.org/university to hear more about this issue.
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas everywhere you go. Take a look in the 5 and 10, glistening once again.
I wish I could sing like that. This is Russ Jones sitting in for Tony Perkins. You're listening to the Washington Watch radio program powered by the Family Research Council. It's Friday. So much been going on. And just a reminder here at FRC, we continue our year-end matching challenge. Going to do that through the end of December. Any amount you donate, FRC receives a matching gift. We have a generous donor that's doing that. So you give $10, turns to $20, $50, $100, so on and so forth. You can go to tonyperkins.com to make that gift, or you can call. We've got folks manning the phone, 1-800-225-4008. 1-800-225-4008. 4008. They'll take your call, receive your donation, and we'll make sure that we can continue to bring you this kind of news from a biblical worldview, and we appreciate that. So, hey, it's that time of the show. I want to hear from you. 866-372-7234. 866-372-7234. You know, how do you handle the holidays? Sometimes the holidays can be really rough for folks. You know, I didn't meet my father until I was 30 years old. It's part of my testimony. My mom, who's no longer here, would not allow me to have a relationship with my father. She divorced when I was 3. And remember back in the day when there was a real thing called a newspaper, and there was an obituary column in there. And my father's funeral listed the surviving people. And I started on a journey to find my dad. And this is back before Google and Yahoo. You couldn't just get on the computer and start searching for people. Had to go to the library. look at microfilm, and call a thing called 411 information. I know there's folks out there that know what that is. Started calling people all over the United States that were listed on that obituary. And, you know, after about 6-7 months, had no success. Was he even alive? Didn't know. Had no idea. And one day, I found my father, my biological father's brother. Here I'm calling all over the United States. You want to know where he was living? He was living 3 blocks from the seminary I was attending in Kansas City, Missouri. 3 blocks. I got a hold of him. And he said, is this Rusty Jr.? I said, yeah. I didn't really like that. I didn't like the name Rusty. Either Russell or Russ. Got called Russell when I was in trouble. And he said, yeah, I know where your daddy is. Up in Ohio. He had his phone number. Kind of the man about the town, small little town in Ohio. And of course, he'd been demonized like the other person often is in a divorce situation. And I had that phone number for several weeks. Well, I was sitting on the bed in the parsonage at the time, little small church I was serving. Parsonage right next to the church in Leavenworth, Kansas. And I didn't call that number for quite some time because I didn't know, would he accept me? Would he take my call? So finally, I made that phone call. And apparently, his wife answered the phone. And I said, is Russ Jones there? That's my dad's name. Next thing I hear is, Russ, got a phone call. So I'm sitting there. And I said, is this Russ Jones? And he said, yes. And I said, well, I believe this is your long-lost eldest son. Silence on the other end of the phone. Silence. I started to tell him about me and my life and where I'd been. I said my mom would never let me talk with you. Matter of fact, she would tell me not to get too far away because somebody might come and steal me from her. Awful. Awful. He started crying. He started crying. I started crying. We got to know each other over the phone, talked for about an hour. That's a long time for a man that comes from a generation that just doesn't talk that much. Worked for Goodyear Tires. Was in his union. Mr. All-American, Mr. Ohio man. Elected to the recreation board of his town. Was nothing like what my mom had painted him to be. But holidays are hard. You know, because you have lost memories. You have years of trying to replace the years the locust ate. What's your story? How do you handle the holidays that may be hard? 866-372-7234. 866-372-7234. You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm Russ Jones, sitting in for Tony Perkins. And you know, we got together. Our first lunch was at Wendy's. And he sat back after he ate a hamburger, got out tube of chapstick, and I started to cry. I said, you use chapstick, huh? He said, yeah, I don't go anywhere without it. Well, guess what, my friends? I didn't have him around to influence me on that. I don't go anywhere without chapstick. We went home, sitting in the living room talking, getting to know each other. He gets up and goes and gets a nice big red plum. Comes in, takes a bite out of that plum. I start crying. I said, wow, you like plums, huh? He said, yeah, it's my favorite fruit. Well, guess what? My absolute favorite fruit. Eat them all summer long. They're not very good anymore. Seems like most fruits aren't as good as I recall as a child. But that's my story. Let's go to Kevin in Arkansas. Kevin, welcome to Washington Watch.
Brother, you touch me every time you're on this show.
Oh, bless you.
You bless me. you're wanting to know the stories, and I've got one for you. How I lost my family 30 years ago in a fire. I survived, and my wife's three babies died, and it was in February after the holidays. For 20 years, I hated Christmas. I hated the holidays. I hated everybody and everything. 10 years ago, I met that man named Jesus.
Mm.
He took all of my anger, all of my pain. And I got to tell you, Christmas is the best time of the year for me now.
Amen. Well, Kevin, I appreciate you sharing that story. And indeed, I can tell you firsthand, God will restore the years the locust ate if we allow him to do so. Appreciate that, Kevin.
Yes, sir, he does, and he will. And I appreciate your story of your father. I know that one, too.
Well, thank you. You have a good weekend. Let's go to Charles. Guess where? Charles in Ohio. Did you just hear my story, Charles?
I did. I actually, it's my wife that's that I'm trying to be supportive of this holiday season, because we just got married October 7th, almost 2 months ago, and her father does not like me. Mm. He's very controlling, and I've been teaching her how to not need me or her dad, you know, how to be independent.
Right.
And so, you know, he really doesn't like me for that. So he would not come to our wedding, and that just kind of devastated her. You know, now the holidays, her mom said, you know, well, they don't have any plans for the holidays. And so my wife says, well, come over to our house. And she says, no, you know. So, you know, and I told her, I said, I'm there for you, whatever you want to do. If you want to have them here, that's fine. You want to buy them stuff for Christmas, that's fine. My wife stays at home and I work. And, you know, that's the first time she's had that kind of relationship. So I told her, it's not my money, it's our money. I said, so, you know, I don't get along with your parents, they don't get along with me, but if you want to buy them something for Christmas, you do it, because it's our money, not just mine. So, you know, I'm trying to love her and be supportive of the fact that, you know, she's kind of without her family this Christmas and this Thanksgiving.
Well, yeah, that's good for you to do. And appropriate call to come from Ohio. My dad's up there in the central part of Ohio. So you have a blessed weekend, sir. Thank you so much for calling Washington Watch.
You also. Thank you.
Hey, let's go to Pete in Missouri, my home state. Pete, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you. Look, Russ, I didn't want to say that much about my story, though my wife has recently shattered our family. But I just wanted to thank you for sharing your story and tell you that I'm really sorry that your family is as shattered as you describe it. That's all I really wanted to say. Thank you, and I'm sorry.
Well, I appreciate that. And Pete in Missouri, I appreciate that a lot. And you know what? We have a good relationship now, and we call each other, talk each other on the phone. He's in his senior years and retired, and it's good. And when I found my dad, guess what, man, I found five new siblings. See, one, two, yeah. And it's amazing. And we talk and have gotten to know each other too. So it's, you know, God has a way of bringing that all full circle. Hey, let's go to Todd in Mississippi. The Magnolia State. Hey, Todd, welcome to Washington Watch.
Man, I'm so glad you shared your story, because my son, who I have not seen in 40 years, lives
wow.
in Akron, Ohio area, and it encourages us that the Lord can bring us back together and bring us back into relationship. And I've met some folks from his church this past fall, but they didn't seem too interested in you know, helping me to reconnect with him. So you know,
do you know where he's at?
Not exactly. I think he's married and he's, you know, working up in the Akron area. But that, of course, is Goodyear territory. This is where
right
his grandfather worked there,
right?
But
there's nothing like the bond between a father and son and a mother and daughter, and they're important. We read about them in scripture. I mean, we see about it, and you know, I work real hard now to you know, when my son was born, I said, you will never question who your father is. You will never doubt who your dad is. And that doesn't mean everything was easy. Mm-hmm. But you know what? I can't, it's really comforting. And I pray that, maybe that'll come together in God's time.
I think it's important for you young sons and daughters to not just take secondhand information about their father or mother that,
right.
that they haven't met. And, you know, test all things get into get on the phone or try to track them down, and you might be surprised. The Lord is not through with us yet, as long as we're living.
Yes, amen. Well, Todd, thank you so much for calling Washington Watch. Man, the phones are just lit up on this. Dana in Missouri, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hi, I'll try to be really fast. This is a long story. My husband, his father abandoned them when they were children. His mother never wanted the children to talk to the dad. Hmm. We don't know if she told the dad not to come around and kept it. But when she passed away, we searched for him, and we found him and found that he passed 3 weeks before she passed, so we'll never know the true story.
Right.
But we found another sibling and then an adopted sibling, so 10 went to 12.
Wow.
And then in my family, my parents divorced when I was very young, and both of them had remarried a couple of times.
Right.
And so I came from broken home after broken home.
Yeah, divorce is the gift that keeps on giving.
Yeah. They both have been married to their partners for years, and that's probably the best thing that's happened to my family was my papa, which is my stepdad.
Mm-hmm.
He was the godly husband and father that was a great example to the rest of us. And when my husband married me, he was so excited because he got two sets of parents.
Yes.
Because he had lost both his parents.
It's funny how
the light in our families.
Well, you know, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Yeah, on both ends. So we work out three Christmases every year, but it can be stressful, but at the same time, it's a great blessing.
All right. Well, Dana, thanks so much for sharing that story. Hey, you're listening to Washington Watch. I'm Russ Jones, sitting in for Tony Perkins. And hey, that year of end of year giving, 1-800-225-4008. 1-800-225-4008. We'd love to hear from you, and those donations make this program possible. Real quickly, let's go to Tom in Tennessee. Tom, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hi, thank you.
Yes.
I'm sorry I was dialed in, actually, to make a quick comment on your previous last guest.
Yes.
Who was commenting that, you know, about the rise in
anti-Semitism.
She actually used the word anti-Zionist in school.
Yes.
And I believe one reason is that, you know, that there's good Zionists and what I call bad Zionists, and a lot of Zionists, they don't read the Old and New Testament Bible.
Right.
And I think that's where the rise in anti-Zionist comes from, because it doesn't give a very good description of Christ.
Right.
And, you know, faith.
Well, Tom, I appreciate your thoughts on that. We're out of time. I appreciate you calling Washington Watch. Folks, it's been a blessing to be with you. It's always an honor. It's an honor to guest host for Tony. FRC is an amazing organization. Give us a call with that year-end donation, 1-800-225-4008. 1-800-225-4008. You can find Tony on Twitter, at T. Perkins. You can find me at Russ Jones Speaks. And from Joshua 1:9, have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you for wherever you go.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is a production of the Family Research Council in Washington, D.C. For more information on anything you heard today, or if you'd like to find out how you can support the ongoing efforts of the Family Research Council, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our new watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234. 7234.